All right. This
Yeah.
is the ins and outs of opening a B&B, a guest house, an Airbnb, or a VRBO, any type of a short-term rental. And then also thrown in with that, we could also do visiting nurses. And so there's all kinds of, corporate housing, which is like not short-term, kind of medium term, but again, not long-term rental. Like you're just going to put a renter in there for the year. So anyway, that's what we're talking about. Our speaker tonight is Noah Laker, and he is not on board yet. So we're just watching for him to see if he taps in. And it could be I sent him the link and also the actual Zoom code. And if he comes through the link, sometimes he has to wait a minute for the code to pop up in his inbox for him to get onto the call. So it could be that he's hurriedly trying to get on. We'll see. But in the meantime, Adam Messmer is my co-moderator this evening. And the two of us, we were just saying we could talk about short-term rentals, long-term rentals, mortgages. We could talk about real estate all the time because it's what we both do. And again, forgive me as I scroll around in our list of people because I'm keeping an eye out for Noah. So if somebody sees his name pop up and I miss it, tell me, say, Noah's in the house, go get him. Because once he pops in, I have to click and make him a panelist for him to pop up here with us. And so that's what I'm watching for. In the meantime, if we're chatting and you have any questions at all, put those in the chat box. I'm not going to be monitoring the Q&A and the chat box and the attendees for Noah. That's a little too much for me to keep an eye on all at one time. So I'll just be keeping an eye on our attendee list, watching for Noah and on the chat box. So if you have any questions, just put them in the chat. So that's where we're at so far. So we're going to talk about short-term rentals tonight. And the first thing is I have a short-term rental and Adam also has a short-term rental. So I'm going to ask Adam, give us some of your background and we're going to kind of go back and forth, but give us some of your background as to what you were doing before you got into this whole real estate thing of long-term or short-term rentals. What were you doing
Sure.
before?
Yeah. So, well, I'm on the finance side. So I'm a lender by trade, and I've been in finance since 2008. My timing's not the best, right? So 2008 is when I'm like, oh, this banking thing seems like a good idea. Let's do that. So I got into that and developed a career in banking. Most of that time was spent in private banking and wealth management. And there I spent a lot of time with rich folks, and I'd say, hey, rich folks, how do you be rich? And oftentimes they had real estate as a centerpiece to their wealth planning strategy. And so I got to work with them in terms of real estate by talking about how they're leveraging those assets so that they can expand their portfolio and find new stuff and get into to bigger and better things. So leverage and 1031 tax exchanges and all these types of things were kind of a regular thing for me for a large part of my career. And then about a year ago, year and a half ago, mid-COVID, I'm like, man, this wealth management thing is a lot of fun, but I didn't I like real estate was like 10 to 20% of that job, and I really wanted to spend full time on real estate. And so I switched to the mortgage side, worked for a bunch of big banks, a couple of big banks. And so I went to the mortgage side of big banks. And then a friend of mine started a mortgage brokerage a few months ago. And so I just joined up with both of them, two of my friends. And
You were telling me about that when we met up last time. Yeah.
It's so cool. It's so neat. It's so I work for Motto Mortgage. It's each franchise is independently owned and operated, or it's a franchise, and each office is independently owned and operated. And what we've decided to do with our office is, in addition to offering things like conventional FHA and VA financing, we're also having a big focus on investor financing. And that's all I do. And so during the day, I quote stuff for people and I figure that stuff out. And then at night, I usually go shake hands and kiss babies at networking events. So that's my role in real estate. And then as an investor, you asked me how I got into Airbnb. We got really lucky. My wife and I, we both grew up in kind of landlording families. So, Saturday mornings, it was get out of bed, we got to go paint or you know, mow grass because new tenants coming into town. And so we knew what that was like. So we chose for our first home, we bought a duplex and we house hacked it and we still live in it. This is it. This is part of it. That's the couch. But we house hacked that. We got it. And is this a national thing, by the way, Kathy, or is this just local in Columbus?
No, this is actually an international thing.
We international have thing. Okay, cool.
From other countries.
Sweet. Well, welcome. But anyway, so in beautiful Columbus, Ohio, there's an area called Clintonville, and it's a hip place. But we were able to get a duplex there for very dirt cheap back in 2013.
Things were on the upswing after the crash in 08 through 2010. Things were starting to upswing, but still good prices.
Yeah, still good prices. So we bought a duplex for $148,000. Two of the duplexes next door just sold for $310,000 like couple months ago. Yeah. So we had some built-in equity, and late 2019, we used that equity for the down payment on an investment property, single family home. In an area kind of just to the north of the Ohio State University campus, and turned that into an Airbnb. And we bought it with the intention of turning it into a short-term rental. Part of it was, it's like, okay, if this doesn't work out, can we just rent it out long-term?
Right.
And the numbers kind of work. I mean, it's not ideal, but like it, we could do that if we needed to. And luckily we've had some great success. Now, again, my timing, it's not the best. So when did we launch our Airbnb, Kathy? Do you remember? Do you remember what I told you?
Yeah.
February of 2020.
Right at the beginning of the pandemic.
So, you know, we held our breath, and luckily, you know, as everything was shutting.
The folks that were traveling in Airbnbs because they didn't want to go into the big hotels. They wanted to get just the whole house so that they didn't have to worry about who else was there. And, you know, so that probably was to your advantage.
It was. We really lucked out because the Ohio State University shut down at the beginning of the pandemic and they sent all the students home. Well, we had some international students that needed to finish their program. They needed to finish their degree, and they were in the final quarter of their final semester of their studies, and they didn't want to go home because they were worried that they wouldn't be able to get back in and get access to what they needed to. So they stayed in our place, and they stayed there for 3 months, and they paid Airbnb rates for 3 months, and that really helped carry us through the rest of the pandemic. So normally, you know, the season of like summertime and that kind of stuff, there wasn't anything going on. So we did okay, but really that helped us at the very beginning to survive the rest of the year.
No, I love that. I love that. So you decided early, you know, once you did the house hacking on the duplex, you decided that when you were going to buy a single family, you were buying it with the purpose of putting it on Airbnb.
Yeah. Now,
did you do any research on any zoning or anything to that extent before you bought it? Or did you just kind of know because of the circles you're kind of running around in that Columbus did have or does have, still does have a plan for folks that want a short-term rent?
Yeah, that's a great question. So a lot of time when we talk about investment real estate, we talk about having a good team. And that's what I leaned on. I leaned on a good team. So I met a guy a couple years ago, and he said, hey, I'm going to try and manage Airbnbs as like a business. And I'm like, that's cool. So we kept in touch, and I followed him for a couple of years, and he was able to develop quite a portfolio of properties. By keeping in touch with him and kind of keeping my ear to the ground on what was going on in the city of Columbus with zoning, because every municipality has had their struggle with trying to figure out what is the role of short-term rental in their city. And so it was a hot topic in a lot of the circles that I was in. But when you have a good management company, they take care of all of that. And that's what I was really looking for, because I was looking for an investment and not a job.
I get it. Now, but did you find the house? Did you search out the house, or did you just put your out that that's what you wanted and people started telling you about properties? How did you actually pick that particular house?
That's a great question. So we worked with a realtor. We found it on the MLS.
Okay.
This particular house worked really well for the Airbnb model. One, it didn't have a garage, which is a weird thing to note, but it had a parking pad and that was it. And so we were able to be a little bit more competitive, I think, with our offer and the pricing, because we were going up against families and they were looking for, you know, houses with a garage. There are other houses in the area that had a garage. This one didn't. And because that's not a necessary feature of having a short-term rental, right. And the basement was a little wet, but again, you don't go in the basement of an Airbnb. It all kind of worked in our favor and really pointed towards short-term rental. But we were actually looking on the other side of the freeway in the Linden area. And there was this really super cute house, and it was a for sale by owner. And we talked to the owner, and she even mentioned, she's like, oh, you could Airbnb this thing and it'd be great. And I'm like, really? Who would want to Airbnb over here? And so I called up my buddy. It's funny because she actually referred me to my buddy that I had known for years, the guy that runs it for us. And that's Housepitality, by the way. Housepitality is the group, and Ben Vale owns it, and he's great. And they're a great property management company.
All right. I'm going to write that down because we have a little membership site, which I'm going to announce later. And I'll make a note. His name is Ben, and it's Housepitality.
Yeah. Ben at Housepitality. Housepitality. So I called him up and I said, hey man, what do you think about Airbnb, this property that was, like I said, on the other side of the freeway? And he said, yeah, you could do that. And he had some over there and they did well. And wow. So he ran some projections for me. He went on AirDNA and then he gave me kind of a whole pro forma on what he thought it could do. And I'm like, okay, this is pretty neat. And so we considered that. And then we're like, well, wait a minute, if we're going to do this, what can we do on the right side of the freeway? And
now what Adam's talking about, and all of you on the call probably get this, there's neighborhoods that are up and coming, and then there's neighborhoods that are a little more level. There are neighborhoods that are declining. And so, you know, you just have to be careful on a short-term rental because you've got folks coming in, generally speaking, from out of town, and you don't want to send them to a neighborhood where, you know, every other house on each side of your Airbnb is boarded up. So, in real estate, there is no bad real estate. It's all just good, better, and best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so what Adam's talking about was whether he wanted to be in a good neighborhood or a better neighborhood.
Yeah, exactly. And so we started looking at options on the other side of the freeway in a better neighborhood. And we realized for a little bit more money, we could have something really nice, something that we could even maybe live in someday. And so we started thinking of it from that point of view, is like, okay, if we wanted to, could we go live in this house? And that kind of directed us to the property that we've got now. And so I had him run a pro forma on that property and the numbers came back a lot better. And I'm like, oh, let's do this. This is cool. I mean, it was only as far as the mortgage payment goes, it was only about maybe $200 more per month. But then the potential income was exponentially more. So that was really attractive. So that's what really kind of drove our decision to buy that. I'll be right back. My cat wants to come in.
Okay. While Adam is letting his cat in the door, I will just give you a brief history of myself. I wanted to have a bed and breakfast or a guest house from a very early age, but of course was always working a job and never saw clear that I could do that. And it wasn't until I got at the other end of my career and was ready to retire. And Mark and I had already been living in our house since 2009. We bought our house right before everything kind of crashed around us here in the States, for some of you that are not in the States. And then again, different areas all across the United States kind of crashed at different levels, you know, and Columbus, Ohio had some foreclosures, but not sometimes when you looked at the reports, not as many as what some states had. And so we got through that time pretty well because we had bought in March of 2009, and we're just in a typical four bedroom house. I mean, it's a larger house, but it's an older home. It was built in 1865 and four bedrooms. The house has been added on over time. We didn't do all of the additions. The additions were done before we bought it. And then we've done a little bit after we bought it. But anyway, long story short, it wasn't until I retired that I decided to house hack. And my house hack was starting to turn one bedroom out of our house into an Airbnb bedroom. So I'm not Airbnb-ing a house. I was putting one bedroom on Airbnb inside our house. And then I added a second bedroom. And then when I retired from, I had beauty salons. I had five salons at one point, which is my long-term real estate story on how I ended up with five salons. But once I retired, I decided then to rent even a third bedroom. So right now we're renting three bedrooms out of our primary residence. And they're not only on Airbnb, but then as far as zoning goes, I went through Canal Winchester, which is our little city outside of Columbus. And of course, they didn't fall into the Columbus, city of Columbus zoning. And so they weren't sure what to do with me. So I had to do my research on the Ohio Revised Code. I had to then put together my business plan, present it to the city. And the city then had to have council meetings and decide what to do with me. And because the Ohio Revised Code allows for actual bed and breakfast, residential bed and breakfast, they said there was no reason that they would have to turn me down, that they absolutely could approve me. So they did. And I had to jump through a couple of hoops. I had to have a fire marshal inspection. I had to have a health department inspection. I had to show them if we were going to serve any food or put any food out for the guests, what that was. And then they gave me my letter of occupancy, and I posted that, and we opened. And so now we're legally approved, and I can serve anything from nothing at all to a full sit down breakfast in my dining room, and I can do anything in between. So I can do a continental. I can, you know, no food at all. I could put snacks in their room. I could do a full sit down breakfast. I can cook for everybody for breakfast. So I can do all of the above. It's however I want to run my bed and breakfast. So from there, I was able to actually list my three rooms on all of the online booking sites. So I'm not only listed on Airbnb, but I'm also listed on booking.com and Expedia, Travelocity. I'm listed on all those. And so I can be as full as I want to be. In my world, I block rooms off just to give myself a break, because I oftentimes will have just an overnight guest that's just traveling through. And so we function more like a hotel might function, which gives me tons of laundry. If any of you gals on the call hate the day of the week that you're doing all of your bed linens, we'll multiply that by like eight beds. And so sometimes through the middle of the week, there's other things I've got going on. I teach online. I do some other things. And I give back a lot. I do a lot of volunteer stuff. And so sometimes I just block the rooms off just to give myself a break. So that's a little bit about where I am. So I did not have to go out and find that perfect property. I was already living in the property. And all we did is we made a few adjustments to make it a little easier to have, as I like to say, strangers in our house. Now, we've had folks from around the world. We've had folks from Italy and Germany and Russia and China and Ukraine. And I mean, we've had folks from all around the world. Now, of course, once the pandemic hit and they closed the borders, a lot of that stopped, but we still had a lot of domestic travel. And so now with things opening up, we're starting to see some more international travel again. And we love that because we get to sit and chat in our parlor. We can connect with our guests as much or as little as they want. We don't steer that. We let the guest steer that. And so we can interact with them as much or as little as they want to interact with us. And so we've had some great conversations and we've made some great friends, and they've invited us to stay at their house. And mm-hmm. our joke all the time is like, they do know they paid us, right? So anyway, So that's really cool. Right now we do have a question from Sharon. She said she has a question about zoning for the city of Columbus. Can she Airbnb for just one room? And yes, you can. Yeah. You do not need to Airbnb the whole house. You can Airbnb just one room. Yes, you are definitely allowed to do that. So is there an additional way, Adam, that you get your bookings other than through Airbnb?
Yes. So we use VRBO.
Okay.
And then our property management company also has a their own site. And I forget what it is, but I know I should look it up and find out what it is. It's hospitality.co, I think.
Or okay,
IO.
So
hospitality.io.
So you basically are on a private website through your management company, and on Airbnb, and you're on VRBO.
Yes.
Now, the reason that, and again, I described what we do versus what Adam does. The reason that I'm not on VRBO is because VRBO is more for renting the entire property. And so I did not go on to VRBO because I don't want to confuse the guest thinking, you know, like, oh my gosh, I thought we were going to get the whole house. And, you know, now we're, you know, we're just getting a room. Noah said he's coming on board. So let me watch for him. I'm going to give him an okay here. He just sent me a text. And so I'll watch for him to come in. So anyway, have you actually then outfitted your Airbnb? Did you buy the furniture, the linen? Did you have to do all of that, or did your management company do that?
And that's why I love this management company. They did all of it. They did all of it. Yeah, it was the best. So what happened? So how that worked was they gave me an estimate. They said, it's going to be about, I think it was like $5,500, right?
Okay.
And I'm like, okay, cool. So they sent me a spreadsheet, and they basically said, this is what we typically put in Airbnbs. And you can add or change or do anything you want to any of the stuff. And then, so I reviewed it, and it was great. It was an Excel spreadsheet that had pricing, links to the stuff that they were talking about, whether it be on Amazon or Walmart.com or wherever they were buying it from. And so we reviewed that, and it was just like, I kind of just trusted them. I'm like, you know, if this works, then great, do it. You know, one thing that I see a lot in real estate is sometimes we get a little emotional about our properties, and we can over improve or we can over decorate. Yes. And that's the worst, because then it's like, okay, great, you feel good about it, but then do these tenants care, or do these guests care? They don't really care about what, you know, whether it's this painting or that painting. I mean, it could just be like fern art and be perfectly fine. And I love fern art. I love like pictures of plants and stuff, but I mean, you know, it doesn't have to be anything fancy, you know? And the other thing is there's definitely a lifetime on a lot of the furniture that's in your Airbnb, because people are rough with it, you know? So you got to expect that you're going to probably replace certain items maybe once a year, every 2 years. And then every once in a while, the odd frying pan or spatula or what have you runs away, so you got to replace those.
And I don't know about you, have you stayed at Airbnbs?
Yes, we just stayed at one in Traverse City, Michigan, which is beautiful, by the way. If you haven't been there, it's really cool. Wineries and just it's beautiful. It's on a bay. There's like a bunch of bays, and there's peninsulas, and just the topography is incredible. But well, yes.
See, I have too. And to your point about the decorating, I have been in a couple where they are so beautiful and so decorated that you almost feel uncomfortable, because you're like, oh, I don't want to move their stuff, but there's no place to put my suitcase. And there's, because it's a little over decorated. So I kept that in mind as well when we did ours, not to over decorate and to leave lots of open space, leave lots of places for them to, you know, actually put their luggage, that sort of thing. Well, I'm trying to get Noah in. He can't find the link. I sent him the link and just the code, but he says that he needs the full link. And and he said the email he found just had the registration link. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm going to tell him to go ahead and register.
So real quick, there were a couple questions in the chat. One was, what was the name? Where do you sign up? And what was the name of the property management company? It's Housepitality. And I put the link to their website in there, housepitality.io. And so you can book a room with them on there, or if you click on work with us, professional tenants, what is that? Oh yeah. So they can rent the house from you. So let's say you don't want the up and down of worrying about like, okay, am I going to have any tenants this month? They will rent it from you. Now, it depends on your municipality, because sometimes municipalities have weird regulations about that, but they will sometimes rent it from you, and then they'll Airbnb it. And so your upside isn't as great, but then you know that your mortgage is paid every month. That looks like a Noah Laker.
There. Yeah. Hello. Hey, how are you?
Hello. What's up, everybody? How you doing? I'm good. I'm better than ever. Nice to see you guys. Thanks for having
me. Good. It's so good to see you. Yes. Yes. Welcome. Adam is my co-moderator today. I am Kathy. I am moderating, and we have just been chatting about Airbnb as far as what our background is, how we decided we wanted to have B&Bs, whether it's Airbnb or VRBO, guest house. It's the full gamut of short-term rentals. And how did we find our perfect properties? And then what do we have to go through with zoning? So let's get Noah caught up here a little bit. Noah, what was your background? You look awfully young to me. What was your background before you started getting into real estate?
I was a leasing agent. I was a property management professional. And and I became a licensed realtor at 19, and I started Wish STR at 20.
Oh, can I ask how old you are now?
I'm 22.
Oh, good for you. Good awesome. For you. So if we have some new folks thank and you. Young folks on this call, yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
The earlier you buy real estate, the more wealth you will acquire over your life.
I hope God willing.
Yes. So start early. I didn't start till I was 40. Yeah. So I love that you're starting so young. So the last text message that I got from you is that you were landing in Phoenix to check out your largest portfolio yet. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we have 59 doors now in Phoenix Metro, mostly Scottsdale. And I'm here with our VP, Cindy. She stepped away, obviously, so I could take this. And I'm so sorry for my latency, by the way.
Oh, but, no, we're glad you're here. So I'm working, just to give you an idea, I'm working with just the house that I live in, and I have decided to Airbnb the bedrooms out of my actual residential house. I still live here. It's a residential bed and breakfast. I am approved zoning-wise through my city, and so I am on like booking.com and Expedia and Airbnb, and we function more like a hotel where folks are traveling through and they might stay one or two nights. And I sometimes will have folks that'll stay longer, but I get a lot of just somewhere between one and maybe five nights. That seems to be my sweet spot. And now Adam, yeah. He has a house that he has on Airbnb where he Airbnbs the entire house. He is in mortgage lending. So he's also in the real estate industry, same as I am. And yours is a different, totally different twist where you're buying complexes. Now, are you short-term renting the entire complex per unit? How does that work? Can you hear me, Noah?
So that's a good question. Sorry, I think my connection was having some trouble. Yeah, I heard that. Sorry. Yeah, it depends. It depends. So some of the units, first of all, a lot of them are fee management deals. That makes up, 70% of our portfolio is fee management. It depends on the owner's wishes, and it also depends on the current rent roll when we take it over. So in some cases, we're phasing things out. In some cases, it was a new remodel and we're running the whole building. In some cases, the owners want a mix, which I don't particularly recommend, I think, for obvious reasons, but it just depends on the deal.
Okay. And so you're actually functioning more as the management company, and you're picking up these complexes and you're managing all of the aspects of the rental.
Yeah, I was a management professional, like I said. That's what I'm good at. That was my background, is management. But you can see, if you look on our Yelp reviews for different properties I was at, you'll see when Noah was there, because I really work hard. I'm a manager first. And I see that as a low risk, low capital outlay way to scale our business, and it's working well. So yeah, management is our focus for this year, less so than acquisitions.
Okay. Now, John put a question over in the question and answer. He says, the management company sounds like a key ingredient. He goes, what is the normal percentage?
15 to 20%.
Okay. Now, Adam, how about you? You have your property with a management company. What are you finding?
I am paying 25%. If you're in some of the more touristy areas, I've heard as much as 40%.
Yes,
so
I have too.
Yeah, there's an area near Columbus, Ohio called Hocking Hills. Yeah. And I've heard of a couple companies out there charging like 40, which
now,
is
so
a lot.
Well, in some cases, those companies have a slightly different model. Mm-hmm. I bill my clients separately for maintenance and cleaning, where some companies will offer, you know, a flat rate and they aren't going to bill you for those things. I find that that's not really in your advantage as an owner. But so anyway, the way we do it, 15 to 20%, and we're exclusively in urban cores. We're in Sacramento, we're in LA, we're in Phoenix Metro. Tucson is probably the most rural community that we're in, and we're not in rural areas of Tucson. So that's another factor, is that a national firm such as Vacasa, they're happy to take your house anywhere. Whereas I turn down a lot of deals because I know I would have to charge quite a bit more to make it worth our time to even do a half decent job in team building, which is what you need to do if you're managing remotely.
I understand that. And I know what Adam's talking about, the Hocking Hills area, which is right below where I am actually. And I get some guests that are going to Hocking Hills. So we know several folks that have properties there, and yes, their 40% is all inclusive. It includes, you know, the cleaning, it includes, they take all the calls, any problem calls, any check-in issues. They do the whole thing for one package, 40%. And oftentimes the folks that, because it's kind of a drive, you know, it's kind of down in the hills. And so even though on a map, it looks like it should be about a half an hour out, sometimes you're on the road an hour to get to your property. And so a lot of owners are just like, take the 40%. I don't, yeah, I don't yeah. want to drive. I don't want to drive an hour, you know, because somebody can't figure out the key code on the door.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's brutal. And having a good system in place, we have, you know, three contingencies before anybody calls anybody. My customer service staff know how to handle that. And we have lock boxes and smart locks and everything, you know, and okay. admin codes, backup codes. So now, smart management can prevent a lot of those.
Yes. Do you get involved in the whole zoning of the short-term rentals? Is that a piece of it that you do, or do you have a team that does that?
It depends on the deal. Everything depends on the deal. But yeah, I'm consulting on a lot of random deals and random markets, and different alumni networks are they kind of have me in their sights and like call me sometimes for example. So like, you know, we have a project, we're doing hostels in LA with a very impressive, and I can't like, you know, confidentiality and all that, but right. we have some hostels in LA they're working on, and I'm involved in some email chains that are like blowing my mind. So it's not my forte, to be clear. Okay. I'm getting sucked into this world, but I am a licensed realtor and soon to be, hopefully, the youngest real estate broker in the state of California until I turn 23.
Awesome. So I got to know this stuff. Congratulations. I love it. I love everything about that. Yes. Yes. That's perfect. So now, where do you advertise to keep all of these units filled? What's your plan on?
I got to tell you. So first of all, my ad budget, not just for properties, but for clients, my ad budget has always been zero.
Okay.
I guess that's not true. Furnished Finder is $100 a year, and we occasionally utilize that
okay.
for different markets. that's the only advertising budget we've ever found necessary. In the urban cores, in Sacramento City proper, you have, or Scottsdale or Phoenix or any of these cities, Airbnb and VRBO are going to keep your property 100% occupied. If you know what you're doing, 100% occupied, maximum revenue. And it's the cheapest option compared to investing a lot of money in direct booking.
Okay.
Unless you're the Hilton.
Right. Right. I get that. I get that. Now, as far as furnishing all of these properties, are you involved in the type of furnishings that go into the units, or do you have a team for that?
I mean, I wear a lot of hats around here. I love getting involved in design, but obviously at this scale, I don't typically touch any furniture. Cindy is extremely tasteful. So anything that happens in Phoenix Metro, she's the project manager. She's okay. Really good. And she actually, I mean, she pulls in, I think we made like 10 grand on furniture profits last month, just from buying liquidated furniture and helping set up new units for clients, you know? So that's a part of our business for sure. It's just, I see it as kind of a time suck, and I don't really do it anymore, but it's something that we can't avoid, obviously, with the nature of our business.
Yep. I certainly understand that. Now, how about financing? You're not purchasing the actual units. You're just manage them for owners. So any of us that had units, not necessarily would you want every single person on the call today if they had some units, because I'm sure you have a certain look and a certain number and a certain area that you're looking for. But your management company would be the type of a company that one would connect with if they did not want to manage their own short-term rentals.
That's correct. Yeah, we're full service. We take care of the cleaning, the management, the customer service, the advertising, the pricing, and so forth.
Are you having trouble finding staff for cleaning and maintenance?
No, the really? Cleaning was a well, wait, maintenance, hang on. I thought you were going to say customer service. So my customer service people are all poached. My customer service people are really good, and I got a pipeline. And they're really good, the best in the industry. And offshore, you know, and we take okay. really good care of them, like condos and Manila and shit. Like, I'm serious. They're part of
okay, okay.
And maintenance is a pain, but of course, even at our scale, we don't spend a lot on maintenance. We really don't. So I don't even need a full-time. It doesn't make sense to have a full-time person. We have local mm-hmm. experts in HVAC, electric, plumbing, and yes. so on. And cleaning is probably the hardest. Cleaning is always the hardest part of this business, in my opinion. Just it's like a game of whack-a-mole. You really can't. You can never satisfy these people. But unless you have your own home and you...
Yeah, you want it done a certain way on top of it, and everybody has their own version of what they think should be done. And I'm sure you have a certain system that you want done in each of these units. That cleaning is always a problem. I'm still doing my own. Now, Adam has a management company. Adam, are you having any complaints, Adam, on your have you had guests that said, hey, this wasn't quite up to speed? Have you had any issues like that?
Yeah, I mean, it's inevitable, and it's hard to tell, like, okay, well, was it the cleaner's fault, or is it in, you know, somebody that just isn't pleased with basic cleanliness?
With life,
you
know? In general.
Yeah, I mean, so you're going to
have
that. Or
they want $50. $50 solves most of the problems, doesn't it?
Exactly, yeah. $50, $50 goes a long way, you know. So we've had instances where maybe there was a mistake on the schedule with the cleaners, and they didn't get to spend as much time on the property as we would have liked. And so we've had people drop off like cleaning supplies and things like that. You know, it's like, hey, do you want us to come in and like actually do it? Or do you just want to like do it yourself? And sometimes I'll say, oh yeah, we'll just do it ourselves. It doesn't happen often though. Like, I wouldn't say that it's a regular thing by any stretch of the imagination, but, you know, I think that's just a fundamental in managing labor, you know?
Yeah.
One of the complaints that I see oftentimes on all of the, I'll call it the Facebook groups that cater to short-term rentals. And of course you get a lot of the newbies that are tapping in there trying to get answers. And one of the things that I see oftentimes in there is they're like, I don't want to stay up really late and get the person in and all of that. So are you finding that a keyless entry works okay? Or are you finding there are some folks that even struggle with that and there's still calls at midnight because they can't get through the door?
You always get one. Every day I get one cleaning complaint and one person who can't figure out how to check it. Every day there's one. And, you know, with almost 100 units now, I think that's, I don't think that's too much. I think we're doing okay.
Yeah,
I'm always boosting quality control. But anyway, keyless entry, I see that as mandatory, especially with my niche being like kind of smaller luxury condos in the urban market, in the downtown area or whatever. People are coming in late at night, or, I mean, they come in whenever they want, and they often don't communicate well with us. So it's just a matter of having a simplified process that makes sense and that's scalable and that's automatic, hopefully. And yes. So we have a combination of hardware and software that it all hooks up perfectly together. It's very user-friendly, and it automatically generates secure codes individual to the guest, which, you know, begin and expire and send automatically to them, all smooth process. And it was really hard to get there, guys. It was really hard to figure out the different, we've gone through a few different systems.
Yep, I get that. We've got a question in the chat and a question over in the a question and answer. The one in the chat says, do any of you have security systems that you use for your units? Also, what is the best keyless lock or keyless system that you recommend?
Can I answer that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Vivint, but I hate them.
What was that? Vivint?
Vivint, yeah, that's maybe an Arizona thing.
Okay.
We have a bunch of Vivint panels, and I hate those guys, and I think it's a bunch of garbage, and I think you're better off putting $20 dummy cameras outside your property. I think it's as effective, and you're not going to hear complaints about the battery outage notifications buzzing and waking up the guests.
Okay.
So Vivint, but don't bother. Unless you have a big, like, estate, like a nice big 5-bedroom house, that makes sense. Smart lock system. If you have fewer than 10 doors, use August. And that'll automate your process for you, at least through Airbnb. August is the brand. I don't care for them either. Their support is non-existent. If you have a scaling, like a big fat portfolio, and this is serious game, it's the remote lock. LGSI is the hardware, and the software is like, it's Edge State by Remote Lock. And it all hooks up with Guesty, and it's the most sophisticated platform in the industry.
Okay. But how many units would you say someone would have to go that route?
After 20 units, your August app on your phone is not going to work properly. It's going to keep crashing. After about 20 locks, it starts having a lot of problems. And August support, again, is non-existent. And they don't have an online dashboard to stabilize it. That's where Remote Lock comes in.
Okay.
And now, you can start. Now, this is real game. This is serious game that I'm going to give out.
Okay.
You can start with August, and August will integrate properly with the Edge State by Remote Lock software. So you can start scaling with August, and you can switch to the Remote Lock hardware and software later. And the key difference is August, you don't have to replace your deadbolt. So if you're doing rental arbitrage or something like that, you don't have to replace the deadbolt. Remote Lock, LGSI, whatever, you do have to replace the deadbolt.
Okay. And for those that are just going to do one or two, you can actually buy a keyless entry system right from your local lumberyard, Lowe's, Home Depot, Menards. Those are the stores that are here in Central Ohio, and you can pick those up. Just if you're real small, like that's what we have. We just have the one house that we actually live in. It's a residential, so
like
that's
a Schlag.
Yep.
Do you manually change the codes, or do you have one admin code that everybody gets?
No, I change the codes, and I use their 4 digits of their phone number. Yeah. So that's nice and easy. Yep. We have a question over in the question and answer. John says, assuming it's a decent house in a desirable area, when all is said and done, how much more can you make short term versus long term?
Double.
I say double as well. Adam, what do you say?
Decent house in a desirable, when all is said and done, how much should you make short term versus long term? Yeah, double. Yeah. I mean, are we? Yeah.
We're more.
Three times. If you're, it depends. I mean, it depends on if you're talking gross or net. I mean, easily double for either one. Yeah.
Yeah. It's complicated. It's very complicated. The more infrastructure you have. Yeah.
I would say easily double. Now for me, I'm actually generating a little more because I am in my own home where I already had a mortgage. I have one furnace, I have one roof. So I don't have all of those repair costs or maintenance issue. And so at that point I can actually do a little better maybe than even double. Yeah. Yeah. Sharon says double gross question mark, but what is the net? Again.
I can talk about my numbers, and I can give you, like, for small time, if you want small time numbers, I can kind of give you a little bit about that. Sure. We average around 3 grand a month, mm-hmm, gross, mortgage payments about 1230 or so. And then, the management company takes 25% of the gross income, not including the cleaning fee and the, you know, the service fee that's collected by Airbnb. So the cleaning fees go directly to the cleaner. And then, after everything's said and done, my net of expenses, I was just doing my books the other day, we're making about $730 a month on that property, net of expenses. And then, I'm about to reorganize some debt. I've got a line of credit that currently is costing me about $200 a month, and that'll go away after we reorganize the debt. So that'll go to like $930 a month.
So you're getting close to clearing $1,000.
Almost. Real close. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, for nothing. For a truly passive income, you know, that's what's cool about it, because I got a management company. I got a guy like Noah Laker that takes care of everything. He's the best.
Yeah. Now, I'm on the other end of that spectrum. For those of you that are trying to look at the big picture and see where you might fit in this spectrum, I'm house hacking. So again, I have a mortgage. My mortgage is about $850 a month, and I am grossing somewhere around $35,000 to $4,000. On three rooms. And so once I take out my mortgage and insurance and then some of my utility bills, so I'm probably putting a comfortable $3,000 in my pocket from my house, because I do not have the extra expenses, and I don't have a management company. I'm not paying any percent there, and I'm doing all of my own cleaning and my own flipping of in between. So, and I work about an hour and a half a day that I have checkouts. And so that's the other end of the spectrum. Okay, let's take a look. Sharon also wants to know, how much does Airbnb charge?
How much does Airbnb charge? Yeah.
I believe it's like 12 to 15% depending on the reservation.
Yeah, I'm thinking high. 12 to 15, but.
Wait, no, I'm sorry. It's like eight. It's 8 to 14. That's the range.
Yeah.
Because I'm on several, I'd have to actually go back and look. I average all of mine at 15. I have some of my online booking sites are at 18, and some are a little less. And so mine averages out at about 15%.
You guys are in very different markets from me.
Yeah, I just adjusted my rates though to where I still get in my pocket, you know, what I need from the rooms.
Yeah, the Central Ohio. I mean, we're talking about Central Ohio. I mean, it's pretty utilitarian travel. People are not coming here for the weather, you know. I mean, you know, unless you really like gray skies and rain, they're coming here for the university, for business, a lot of business. I mean, and we're a major hub for things like conventions and stuff. So, I mean, that's why people come here. You know, so that, and that's what really hurt us during COVID, is when all the conventions and stuff stopped. I mean, there's no reason to go to Columbus unless you've got a specific goal in mind, like to go to this convention or this business meeting or what have you. Yeah.
Now for us, because we're on the outskirts of Columbus, Ohio, we get a lot of folks that are coming through because they're coming for a wedding or a class reunion, or they have maybe a student at Ohio State, and maybe it's parents weekend or graduation weekend or something like that. So, but we also get a lot of folks because we're only a couple of miles off of the interstate. And so we get a lot of folks that are traveling like from Michigan to North Carolina, and we were like in the middle. And that, so they just were just Googling something that had a good, a good rate and good reviews. And they found us and decided to stay over on their travels. And so we get a lot of folks that are just traveling through. So that was her other question, was good question. Ohio, what is your target market? Again, I didn't really try to pick a particular target market. I just, we just kind of put ourselves out there and said, here's what we have. Here's what the price is. Here's what the pictures look like. We started getting some decent reviews, and I can be pretty much as busy as I want to be.
Yeah. What we decided, the reason why we picked where we picked is because it was so centrally located. You're about a 10-minute drive from just about anywhere in Columbus. So whether you're coming for, like I said, the university, football, Children's Hospital attracts a lot of travelers. We have a pretty prominent Children's Hospital here in Columbus. So we get families that'll stay here for that. But you know, things like the Arnold, which is a bodybuilding competition. People come internationally for that. And then the Quarter Horse Congress. Did you know, Kathy, that the Quarter Horse Congress is the largest economic event for Columbus every year?
Yes. Yes, I did.
It's awesome. It's going on still, I think. Or maybe it just wrapped up.
It just wrapped up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we had folks from...
Hey, guys, I'm so sorry. I'm having some serious connection problems.
Okay. We can still
You're good.
Hear you. Yep, we can still hear you loud and clear. So, okay, any other questions?
Thank you.
Now, I do want to ask, and of course, Noah's answer is going to be different than mine, as far as how often do you upgrade all of, I'll call it the tangible items, the bed linens and the towels and all of that. Do you have a system in place on how often you upgrade all that sort of thing? Can you hear us, Noah?
I'm sorry, I think I missed like half of that.
Yeah, how often do you upgrade like all of your linens and towels, and do you have a system in place?
Oh, yeah. So we started our own cleaning business internally, and a big significant component of it is investing a lot of money in rotated linens. And so we're spending at least $1,000 a month on linens and towels and whatnot. And I charge my clients a small fee per property and per turn, I mean, and we replace all of that free of charge.
Okay. And so
very frequently. We also have a laundry service that it all goes through.
And I'm discovering as well, because I also stay at bed and breakfast and I like to travel with Airbnb. And so I've discovered that spending a little less on the front end and replacing more often seems to work better for my clients than buying very expensive linen and then feeling like I really can't replace it for a year because I paid so much for those comforters or whatever. And because sometimes your linens just start to look tired, and then it makes your guests feel like they're not clean.
Yeah.
When really they're just.
Yeah. No, I mean, we buy hotel grade linens in bulk, and it's, you know, it's cheap and they're soft and they're good, but they're also disposable.
Yes.
And bleachable, you know. And
yes.
So that's the most effective system that we've been able to figure out in the larger markets.
And as small as I am, I have discovered the same thing, that replacing it more often and not spending, not buying real expensive things actually works better for me. We had another couple of questions here. Sharon wanted to know, do you do background checks or credit checks? And I do not, because I oftentimes have a person that's just spending the night like a hotel, you know, they're just going to swipe their card, stay overnight. And by 7 a.m. the next morning, they're on the road on their way somewhere. So no, I don't do background or credit checks.
I have a question though.
Yeah.
Noah, because you've got a large operation, what kind of, do you do background checks or credit checks or anything like that for employees?
Well, for employees, sure. But no, for guests, absolutely not. That's not realistic.
Yeah.
No, hotels don't either.
Correct.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we've not had any issues.
My staff are trained to look at reviews and look at history. So for example, if somebody has bad reviews, there's a standardized message that they can send out or some variation of it. If somebody has no reviews, then we're going to send them a different message that basically forces them to acknowledge our house rules and acknowledge our charges policy. But if they have good review history, they won't get any of that. So there are measures in place to kind of do our best on that front. But there's only so much you can do.
Right, you know, right.
So Sharon in the chat, she said, I'd do a Google search at least. I kind of, so it's funny, my management company, they caught something one time. And it was somebody that said, because there's this whole Airbnb thing, like no parties, right? And you don't want parties. You don't want to be a venue for parties. I mean, unless you're set up to specifically cater to events, you don't want that because then it's out of your hands. And so, you know, we had somebody, they said, hey, you know, I live in town, but my house is getting fumigated and I just need a house for the night. And my property management company, they do a Google search on them just to see like, okay, well, is that real? And they found this person's social media and they're like, oh, we're having a rager tonight. Come to this house. It was my house. And they're like, come to this house. And they caught him. They didn't give him access. So I was like, oh, wow, that was really awesome. Do you do anything to like weed out party animals, so to speak?
If they have it. Yeah, go ahead, Noah.
Number one, I have a commercial discount with Noise Aware. So I get their hardware. And so I get everything like free almost.
Yeah,
with Noise Aware, and that's a big help. But the other thing is I pick my properties carefully. I mean, my niche is what it is for a simple reason. These small, like 1 and 2 bedroom nice condos, because you don't deal with nearly as much of that. So, and if they do, it's a small enough unit where the Noise Aware would catch it, you know?
That's an interesting question. Do you ever have, somebody in the chat said, do you ever have people that try and overstay and not pay?
Very rarely, and we deal with them swiftly.
Yeah. Is that like a call to the cops? I don't know. I mean, I don't run my own thing, so I have no idea if that ever happens.
Depends. Sometimes the cops get involved.
Yeah, no kidding. Wow, that's wild.
Now, each jurisdiction has some different rules, and so wherever you're located with your Airbnb, and again, I'm using that term generically. It could be VRBO, guest house, bed and breakfast, whatever. Make sure that you do that research as to what you're supposed to do or allowed to do in your jurisdiction, because the rules are different in different areas.
Mm-hmm. Take it to court unless there's a safety issue. Yeah.
Yeah, I see that. That's true.
I mean, there can be a lot of liability involved with kicking people out of a house any which way.
Yep.
To Kathy's point.
So it goes back to having a good team. Make sure you got that lawyer ready to rock. Get a textable lawyer. I like having textable lawyers. If you can text your lawyer, that's a good lawyer.
Yeah, I have one of those.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Now, Gia wants to know, where do you look for a management company and what would you recommend on picking one? What's the criteria?
So, for Airbnb specifically, cohostmarket.com is always on all the Facebook groups bugging everybody. So they've kind of established themselves as a leader. And I'm number one in all my markets on cohostmarket.com, which I'm proud of. So cohostmarket.com is one that is kind of a very new thing and people seem to be using it more and more.
Okay.
Of course, you can just do a quick Google search and you'll find a million, you know, vacation rental management firms in your local market and you can pick between. And then of course the obvious question is how much are they charging and what are they doing? And make sure you ask a lot of tough questions and plan out your questions in advance and don't let them sweet talk you like I do. Like I would.
I have another source. You know, I don't know what the real estate market's like in the rest of the country as far as investor communities, but in Columbus, we have this like wild community of investors and it's tons of in-person stuff and online. So we have a group called The Cream, which is the Columbus Real Estate and Money Group. It's awesome. And I spend all day on it. I mean, it's just a wonderful source for anything that you can imagine related to real estate investing. But you put it out there. You put it out in one of these groups that you're a part of, maybe online, but hey, who's everybody using for co-hosting? And you'll find out real quick and very honestly what people think of the different co-hosts in your area.
Yeah. Property managers are not highly regarded, you know, long-term or short-term. You're going to get the honest opinion.
Well, and again, if you get a good one and you get some referrals to a good one, then oftentimes it's hard to get in. And that's what some of my friends are finding that have some properties down in Hocking Hills. We were talking about that earlier, because there's a couple of really good ones down there, and they're pretty much at capacity. So you have to kind of twist their arm to take your house because they're kind of in high demand. So I get that. I'd like to go back and for each of you to describe, what do you put out for food or in that area, whether you do a breakfast or whether you do a continental or whether you don't do any food at all, or do you do snacks? Do you have, you know, do you put like coffee, and what do you put in each unit? So Noah, how about you? What goes in each one of your units, and does it differ from the different areas that you're in?
Yeah, well, in the larger areas, we have more of a standardized process for that. But generally speaking, everybody has coffee, everybody has cotton swabs and makeup wipes. And then in the bigger markets, we like to have, you know, toothbrush and toothpaste. We fold the towels really, really nice and stick in some little amenities. Uh-huh. And I like seasonal dry goods. I like cup noodle. I like oatmeal cups. I like hot chocolate. Things that you can make in the microwave real quick, I guess it's appreciate. And of course the cost per unit is like, you know, 20 cents.
Right. Right. So I do a lot of that as well. So Adam, how about you?
I think we have just coffee and like, that's it. But I'm an owner. I'm not a manager. So I don't know. I should know these things.
So how about when you travel, what have you found in some of the Airbnbs as you're traveling around, Adam?
Bottled water. Man, I got my money back in bottled water at this one place that I stayed. It was great. And especially if you're there for recreational activities and you're out all night and you come home and that's fresh bottle. It's the best. Ice cold in the fridge. I love it.
That's why I use Brita, man. People would get greedy.
that's true. Now, in my unit, we do have like refrigerator water, which water is some of the best water in the world. None of that bathroom water. Or, you know, or basement water, gross. But like the refrigerator water, that's the best. Yeah.
Yeah.
We also, again, because it's in my home and because we're an 1865 historical home and we kind of cater that direction, I do put out a continental every morning in my parlor. I actually have a parlor and all three rooms empty out into the parlor. And I have a baker's rack in my parlor, and my baker's rack has ceramic mugs. It has a coffee pot. I put flavored coffee. It has different flavors of tea. And I also have a fruit bowl. And then I have some miscellaneous pastries in a big basket. And I recently started purchasing prepackaged pastries because of the whole pandemic. And folks really didn't want to, you know, reach into the cookie jar, you know. And so I started buying the prepackaged, and it works really well. And everybody seems to appreciate it. I don't mention it in any of my advertising that we have any food at all. So when folks come out of their rooms in the morning and they smell that coffee and they see that there's some fruit and pastries, they're like, oh, that's for me. And I'm like, yep, that's just for you. And so it's just a nice little added benefit.
Yeah. And I wonder if that enhances like the guest experience because they're not expecting it, you know, like, I mean, that it's that much better. Cause if you expect it and then it's like, well, this continental breakfast is not that great or whatever, you know,
it's like, yeah, it's prepackaged. Yeah. Like I could have gotten that at the filling station. Yeah.
Yeah. 100%, man. People like surprises and people like sweets. This is surprise sweets.
Yeah.
I think it's great.
And one of my favorite things that seems to go the distance for me is, believe it or not, is just a big box of oatmeal cookies, you know, the cream filled oatmeal cookies. They're all individually packaged, and each room gets a couple of those at check-in inside the guest rooms. And then each room has its own coffee pot as well. And then I buy commercially the little coffee pods that go in the coffee makers. And so each room has their own coffee and tea and the oatmeal cookies at check-in. So they get cookies at check-in, they get cinnamon rolls and pastries and fresh fruit and flavored coffee at checkout in the morning.
I'm going to come to your house.
So anyway, so that just gives you an idea of what we're doing. let's see here. We made sure that we have answered the questions on the links and that sort of thing. Sharon said she's learning a lot. She's planning on joining the CORE, the C-O-R-E-E, Central Ohio Real Estate Entrepreneurs. It's about $125 a year. And it offers access to leases, attorneys, and all of that sort of thing. So that's good as well. Now, again, there's all kinds of real estate organizations in Central Ohio. And so I'll list some of those as well. But I would like for all of us to put our contact information in the chat so that folks can get in touch with us. And Adam, Tammy wants to know, what lending company did you say you work for?
I work for Motto Mortgage. It's a national franchise, and each office is independently owned and operated. And I'm here in Columbus, Ohio.
And you are going to be at our Happy House Hunters on Thursday night, which
I
is our
am. And Tammy, I have a pregame with with a lawyer buddy of mine, yeah. And then I'm going to come right there right after. But I'll put all my stuff in the chat so you guys can get a hold of me.
Yep. So anyway, so go ahead and enter that into the chat. And do we have any other questions? Now, one thing that I want to tell all of our listeners, if you just Google Kathy Benner International Academy, you will find all of our replays. You'll find all of our dates. You'll find everything there. And in the replay, I will also put Noah's contact information, and I will put Adam's contact information in our replay section. So feel free to find that. I'm just going to put that in the chat, and you just Google Kathy Benner. I'll spell that for you. International Academy. And you can just look that up. I'm the only one on the internet, Kathy Benner International Academy. And you'll see our replay section. It's right toward the top of everything. But Adam's got his stuff there. I'll put all the contact information as well in that academy. And it's all free. So enjoy. For those of you that are in the Central Ohio area, we are having a meet and greet at Gresso's in German Village on Thursday at 6 o'clock. And you don't need to buy anything unless you want to. A lot of folks just get some drinks. Some folks come for dinner, and some folks just come to hang out and listen. So feel free to join us Thursday night at Gresso's if you're in the Columbus area. And Noah, thank you so much for joining us. I loved hearing about what you're doing. It's amazing. Maybe someday I'll have like a few more units. I have 30 long-term rentals, but only the one short-term rental. And I'm interested in adding more short-term rentals to my portfolio. So I'm gonna stay close to Adam because he's got the mortgage deals. And so hopefully I can add to my portfolio as well. So any last words from Noah?
No, thank you guys so much for having me. I appreciate it. If there's a sizable portfolio to be put together out in Ohio and we need infrastructure and to build something out there, my system is replicable anywhere. We're like Manny McPhee. We go where we're needed, not necessarily where we're wanted.
I love it. I love it though. I love it. Adam, any last words from you?
This has been so much fun. Like, this is I did one of these things with a couple of realtors one time, and I didn't know what to do with my eyes. I kept like looking all over the place, and it was weird, but this has been a lot of fun, and I really appreciate everybody's engagement and talk with Noah and you, Kathy, and I'm excited to do it again sometime.
Oh, you get to do it every month if you'd like.
Okay. <yeah.
laughs> I love it. So anyway, I have my folder here, and let's see who we have. In November, we have LaTanya Keys Interiors, and she is going to tell us all about how to do the interiors of all of your Airbnbs or short-term rentals and what works and what doesn't. And then in December, we have Cheryl Hewitt, and she's going to just give us her story on how she got started with her short-term rental business, and she's going to give us all of her details. So I'm excited to hear from them. And I'm going to invite Adam to be my co-mod each month if he is interested in doing that. And as you folks tap in, let me ask you one last question, Adam. How widespread can you go with your mortgage business if someone needs some financial help? Can they be in a different state?
That is a great question. So we're primarily looking at lending in Ohio, but we can lend outside of Ohio in certain circumstances. It depends on the state. Every state has different laws on licensing and whether or not they recognize something as residential lending or commercial lending. In some instances, we can do commercial lending outside of Ohio. It just kind of depends. And then as we grow, we look at adding to our licensing, you know, in those other states. So if there's a demand, I mean, it's not that difficult to add additional states, but there is a cost involved with it. So, you know, let me know if you guys have interest in your area for these kinds of products that are typically called non-QM or non-qualified mortgage, and I can get into that another time, then we're happy to explore those opportunities with you.
Perfect. And for those of you that are in the Central Ohio area, you can actually come to Gresso's on Thursday night and chat with Adam even more. And if you're looking for some financing to get started in your short-term rentals, he can definitely help you out there. And if you have to travel in and stay over, let me know, because I have the guest house. So
cinnamon rolls every morning.
We can do that.
Awesome. I love it.
All right. So don't forget, check in the chat, go to Kathy Binner International Academy. It's free to register to get on that site, and you'll see all of our replays there of all the folks that we've talked to about short-term rentals. And then that's where all of the dates and short-term rental replays are going to be housed. So visit our site and hope to see you next time, and we'll see you later.